بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، إن مع العسر يسرا. Allah Taala wants to make things easy for you. He doesn't want to make things difficult, make it easy. But just that we complicate matters, and the easy things we think it's difficult. It's not because the work is difficult, but because we have complicated things. And on account of the complication, that easy thing seems to be difficult. To make wuzu, form namaz at the right time, is there anything easier than that? Is there anything more relaxing than that? Right. And does it cost anything? No cost. Nothing easier, nothing more relaxing. But then when that ease, you can't see it right, then that easy thing seems to be difficult. In essence, not difficult, it's very easy. All he wants, for example, at Asr time, come and do 4 rakats for me. What's the difficulty in that? Now, hanging out with friends, such a difficult thing, such a costly thing. Just compare, do the comparison. Alright, this weekend, what's the program? We're going shipping, we're going fishing. Alright, so the boat, alright, the boat is on. How much is the price? How long will it go for? Is that difficult or easy? Difficult. So many people get seasick. They're getting problems in their tummies, right? Coming up, they need one more day to relax again. And 6 out of 10 times, they don't catch anything. Right? Then, I know some of my friends, they tell me what they do after that. Just to have a good face before their wives, they buy a couple of fishes, you call this. So, is it an easy thing or is it a difficult thing? It's an easy thing. So Allah Ta'ala wishes ease for you. He doesn't want to make things difficult. In the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, many people accumulate a lot, right? Some of the families that I know, some young girls did 25 sipara, 25 khatams. And that 25 khatam doesn't mean they didn't do the homework. They did all the homework, whether it was samosa, whether it was half moon, whether it was biryani, they did the last work. All the work, and plus 25 khatams, 26 khatams. Then isn't it embarrassing for us? You have no work you got, and you can't do. They got responsibilities, they have to see the husband's moods, all that they have to see. And yet they could manage, one could manage 26, one could manage 25 khatams. So it's easy, it's just a matter of adjusting things, put things in place, adjusting things, and you work it out very easily. Now see at home, right, I'm showing you ease. It's so easy, right? Food, everything is. But now we don't want that ease, so we'll go for a camping. Take your tent, put up the tent. Then look for firewood, put the firewood. Then some security, and cook the thing. It's cold, and you need something additional. There's no proper toilet facility, no bath facility. But that difficulty seems luring to you. And that easy, what's easy? No. You don't want to take to that which is ease. So in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, a lot of things, a lot of people have required. Shukr to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gave us the opportunity, the blessings, to be in the right environment, right association, and to be in the right work as well. But now, you know, one is acquiring and one is sustaining. You ask a wealthy person, or you ask his son, hey, you all right, man, you got the money, you know. So they will tell you, I'm talking of a boy who was studying here, but his father was a multi-billionaire. You know, see how they think business, right? So, Murana, you know what? Making money is not so important. It is sustaining that wealth. So making it is one, and thereafter sustaining. That is even more difficult. Your eyes always on the computer, this share going up or coming down. This rental is coming up or not coming. And if this is not coming, why is it not coming? Why there is no bias for this? So sustaining it sometimes, or most of the times, is more difficult than earning it. Health, go to the best gym, personal trainer you have, right, and get the right shape. So to do all that, the diet, the exercises, all that, that may be difficult. But more difficult than that is thereafter to maintain that. You've got the health, now maintain the health. So if to get the health was difficult, it's more difficult to maintain that. So the same with amal and deen. One is to acquire, and then the second is then to maintain it. So there must be some leads, there must be some direction in the hadith, in the Quran, as to how we must find a way to maintain. We thought we felt very nice, things were happening, things were just flowing, right? At any time of the day or night, things were just flowing and working for us. But now, what's the way forward? How do we maintain this? Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, the lengthy hadith, right? But just one part of the hadith. One is how to get to Jannah, so the faraiz, you know, the faraiz and the obligations of deen. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows him specific ibadat, like roza, fasting is a shield. See, all the wrongs come to your mind when the tank is full. Is it right or not right? Tank is empty, can you go anywhere wrong? You know, looking at the clock, what's happening now? Can't go anywhere because Tarawih just now. If don't go home, then the wife will say, you know, you prepared and you didn't. After Isha, we locked up again. You are locked up, the shaitan is locked up. So, now how that rosa becomes a shield. It blocks you from a lot of things where you don't want to go for a holiday in Ramadan, right? Some of the students complain that your first holiday comes in Ramadan. Now Ramadan is such a time you can't do anything, can't go anywhere. So you have to tell the students, that's why we kept the holidays in Ramadan. We don't want you to go to all places, because 80-90% of the places are wrong. Anyway, go for a holiday resort, whatever, but 80-90%, some 95% of the place is wrong. You go and ask those people that come there, what type of people book in? Sometimes it's a Satanist, sometimes it's LG, sometimes it's a kafir, mushrik, and sometimes, many a time, they're doing some of their shirk there, their kufr there, all shameful, indecent acts that are carried out there. Now you're going to stay in the same place, are you going to take barakat and come out, or you're going to lose the barakat? There are some places, sometimes you are forced, you are traveling overseas for business or something, or you're going for Hajj and Umrah, then you're forced to live in a hotel. And then, if it's Hajj and Umrah, then inshallah you don't expect any wrong to be in the hotel itself. But other places, so it becomes just a novelty. We're tired of the town life now. Go out somewhere. So this roza is a shield, right? Our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that apra ghar mein ma apre badshah hoy. In our own homes we are kings. You can spit anywhere, you can do anything, you can break wind, you can do anything, right? Eat, sleep, eat at any time, you can do it. But can you do the same thing in a hotel? Can't do it. You lost the freedom. So why are you going out to lose your freedom? What's the purpose? What's the idea? You want to be free, so the most freedom you can find is within the four walls of your home. So why break it? Some of these youngsters, when they're going for the honeymoon, you know, youngsters, so I tell them two things. But the honeymoon thing, I checked up and I'm still checking up, I can't find any trace of a honeymoon. No, nothing. Not a single page I've ever seen of the Quran and the Hadith where they talk about a honeymoon. And what is most disgusting is you're going out to some like an isolated place for a holiday, for a honeymoon. You don't want to be disturbed. Then you don't hear azan, you don't see a Muslim, no Islamic activity whatsoever. Do you feel comfortable? All kuffar around you, singing, dancing, naked, half naked, three quarter naked. All the type of wrong activity is there. You feel comfortable. You know, once, many years ago, I think about 30, 35 years ago, was Hajj. So, one friend, he invited us for supper. And so there was an Arab sitting there also, he was also invited. So this host is asking that Arab, but when you gone to America, he said, yes. You were supposed to be there for 4 years, yeah. And why you came back just in 2 weeks? He said, what's the joy in staying in a place where you can't hear azan? There's absolutely no azan there. What's the joy of living in such a place? I thought I'll do my business and I will get my namaz, I'll listen to the azan. But for 2 weeks that I was there, I didn't hear the azan. So what's the joy? What's the joy in living in such a place? Then Rasulullah shows him the second thing. Sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-Rabb. See, from Sawm, fasting and sadaqah, charitable works, that extinguishes the wrath of Allah Ta'ala's anger. Now you think to yourself, you'll fast, right? You'll abstain, restrain from a lot of things. So when you'll abstain and restrain from some things, a lot of things, then you'll have a lot of surplus money. You have surplus time, you have surplus money. So what you must do? Then share it with others as well. Share it here, share it there. Whatever you can do according to your capacity. That money is not for growth. See, what we think that money is for growth. I got so much for growing. I don't say don't. But the more important thing in wealth, if you look in the life of the Sahaba Ikram, is what can I do? Look at my relatives. Look at my neighborhood. Do I look at my parents, right? Do I look at my immediate, my extended? Do I look at them? Do I look at the poor people, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim? But what level of kindness am I showing? And if you can't do anything monetary, then something physical, you can teach someone something. You teach him how to, a profession, right? Or the motor mechanic, how you can learn to become a motor mechanic. Show him how to do building, right? Show him something simple. He can generate an income for the rest of his life, but the du'as that you will get. But this kindness, you see, this kindness. So, this kindness, when you look at the hadith, the treasure of hadith, I would tell you, you know, there's over 50% of the hadith is just talking about some kindness or the other. Some feed persons, make salam, join, right? That 40-50% of Islam is just show kindness. However, whichever way, small, big, but just show that kindness. Now, are we doing it? You know, it's so important to do this ta'lim that you get an understanding of the pulse of the deen. Now, we don't do this ta'lim, or we just do it as a routine, we're not thinking of the contents. See, Abu Zubayr al-Din, when they write now, they won't go too deep. They won't like attack, like how what I'm doing now, I'm attacking, right? They just give you, and they expect you to grasp the concept. Shaykh Ahmad is talking about Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's patrolling the whole of Madinah Munawwara. Now that he's in control of the finance, that thing is leaving him very, very uneasy. I got finance, what am I doing now? run around everywhere. Go for a picnic here, meet that one there, stay inside here, have a bride there. Is that the purpose of controlling finance? Now that thing is making him feel so uneasy, patrolling the whole of Medina. Now he goes to one place, one woman is in labor. He goes home, his wife is the granddaughter of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Umm Kulsum, come help out with the labor. And she doesn't bat an eye. Hey, I never do this thing and messy job here, you know, it's a Guyanese work, how can I do such a thing? But he's gone, he's doing it himself, for his wife. Then he sees little children, right, they're hungry. He gets the meals, he prepares it himself. He prepares that meal himself. Mawlana, learn to cook also. Very practical dabas, practical cooking also. Has Umar did it, is there anything embarrassing? If Umar, the best person after Abu Bakr in the whole world, Umar radiyallahu anhu, if he did it, some basic things, how you can make someone happy, fulfill his, what happiness you will bring out. Now that is the spirit of Islam. If you look at the Sahaba Ikram's life, this is what they're doing, helping out, assisting, kindness, correction. Now, you are doing for people and Allah will do for you. You are doing for people and Allah is doing for you. That's why I say we don't look at the pulse of the Quran. What is it telling us? If you look at a Nabi's life, pre-Nubuwat and post-Nubuwat, it's quite a bit of it is just to help around. Help around, assist, and I think, you know, a day mustn't pass that you didn't do some work of kindness. A day mustn't pass, some work of kindness, you made someone happy, brought something, gave it to him, right? You saw who's the poor person, who's the deserving person. Some way, it doesn't always have to be a deserving person, a neighbor, it doesn't have to be a deserving person, but you brought something for him. We prepared 5 dozen samosas and we got 5 people in the house, so each one will have 1 dozen. But ye koi samajhdari ki baat hai. You have 5 dozen, alright? Take out 2 from each dozen. 5, 2, 10. Pass it on to the neighbor at least. He's getting the smell of samosas coming to his house. But that day he can't afford it, or perhaps he or his wife, both are professional people, they don't know how to do samosas. Doesn't it happen? They were all of wealth, but they don't know these elementary things they don't know. Now we just have to the taste, you know, the taste buds, just water it a little bit. And why say taste, that reality of professional, just affect the taste buds. Why? One English big doctor, I don't mention his name, but he came to India in the day of the English when they were ruling. And somewhere he had gone, they offered him biryani. So that was the point of his conversion. He says the level of the food is so high, so refined, so pure, and so great, what must be the level of the religion? But you see how you get the person. A little bit of food, make the person happy, some ikram, some happiness, something or the other for the day. But now when our minds shift on from that, then it's just about multiplying. And there isn't a point where, you know, you say, no, enough is enough. You know, some people come and tell me stories, this person here, that person. So people know that they're going into wealth now. So they're trying to prove, you know, I made a name for myself, I did something. I made so much, I reached that figure. Now I'll be counted in the circle. But that's not the thing to think about. That's not a thing, really. The target and the goal is, what have I done? The giver, have you lost sight of the giver? You're only looking at the gift, but you lost sight of the giver. Is that right, I say? And someone talks to you, say, no, my acumen, I am so sharp. Is there any difference between that statement and the statement of Qarun? Innama utitu wa la'im. No, I am so brilliant. See, I've got all these stones, rubies, diamonds, yeah, so much. Just the keys to his treasure were so heavy that a whole group of people couldn't manage carrying it. Just the keys to his treasures. So, the concern is, what have I done? Or I don't say don't enjoy. we are quite spoiled. Not little spoiled, we are very spoiled. If in the morning there's Kari Kichdi, the children are complaining, there must be something special in the evening. There must be something. So the way people are spoiled now, they must have it. I say, don't cut it off completely, but encourage the spirit. What can I do for this person? How can I do it? And remember, in doing this ikram, please don't get into contact with any woman at any time. Now I discovered one thing. Even if it is that you're not looking at a girl, you're not looking at a woman, right? But the door is open, for example, and she can watch you, close the door. I notice you're not looking there, right? But perhaps the door is open, she can watch you, like how you have a worker or a guest coming into the house. So close the door. I found, you know, talking of how to preserve, I found that you'll find a noor in your heart. Forget looking at her, or forget her looking at you. You close that avenue where she can look at you. You just block that off completely. And when you block it off, you will find a noor in your heart. And if you don't block it off, then you will find a miserable mind, a mind that is irritable. You might find a mind that is miserable. When you block it off, you'll find immediately a noor. So to understand the pulse of the deen, you have to look at the life of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And look at it, and look at it carefully. Not just surface. Look at it properly, carefully. You see, when an alim is coming up, right, he'll first study, he'll understand the translation, etc. But then, at a second level, he must think, alright, the story, what are the lessons? If it's about Isa alayhi salam, then what are the lessons? If it's Ibrahim alayhi salam, then what are the lessons? What are we learning here? What must we do? Otherwise, what will happen to that bayan? That talk will be just to give a talk. But it won't be for reflection. See, 10% is bayan, 90% is reflection. أَفَلَا يَتَذَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Again and again, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Don't you think, don't you ponder, don't you reflect? Now what we did is 90% we're giving bayan, 1% we're giving for reflection. I say, is that fair to the Qur'an Sharif? So the right thing is, look at the pulse of the Qur'an, what the Qur'an Sharif wants, what Allah Pak wants. When you look at that, when you look at the Qur'an Sharif from that perspective, then you become a walking Qur'an. You're living the Qur'an Sharif. Then every moment of yours is you finding satisfaction, fulfillment, right? That, alright, this is what my Allah Pak wants, what He wants. In the morning, in the evening, in my domestic life, what He wants. So you're looking at it from a different dimension. You're not looking at it, alright, hey, you know, this Mu'a gave this bayan. It's a good point, you know, for the bayan. Let me just write it down before I forget. What do you say, Wispa? So I'll forget. Let me just record it quickly. Hey, don't look at the bayan with that intention. What can I learn? How can I improve? So now look at the life of Musa alayhi salam. Right? From the beginning, this man is for khidmat, service. When he sees his people are downtrodden, oppressed. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعِ يَسْتَدْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ He noticed it. He's a Nabi, right? And the Nabi is the most brilliant of a nation. Most brilliant. He saw it. يَسْتَدْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ He separated it and he brought about the affirmative action. So he's got a different rule for the locals and a different rule for the Israelites. Israelites, Jews, you've got a different rule. And the locals, يَسْتَدْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ Slaughtering the foreigners, literally slaughtering them, and sparing these people here. Now Musa is seeing this. When he sees this, he's seeing his people being downtrodden. How can I rescue? And he sees he's one person catching it, right? So he stops the fight. Alright, whatever happened after that. But can you see a Nabi? He didn't think to himself, I'm coming from a royal background. You know, I'll lose all these things here. All the royalties I'll lose. See the wealth I got. See the comforts I got. See the background. What respect I've got. I'm the prince, royal. And I'm going to do this thing here, and everything will be lost. He didn't look. He said, no. This is oppression. This is cruelty. I have to go and put a stop to it. Now, they are pursuing him, alright. He miscalculated. He's defending the justice. He's defending the cause of justice. And in the defending of the cause of justice, he made a mistake. So it wasn't intentional, right? He was defending the cause of this justice, a mistake takes place. So he's escaping, right, for his life. رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Now he comes here. There's so many points to learn this. The same incident, so many. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَا أَمَدْيَنَا وَجَدَ عَلِهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. So he comes to the watering place, the trough of a people, right? So in those days, they didn't have municipal water. And then even more, when you have to water the animals, right? So animals' consumption is quite big. You got a camel, you got a goat. So their consumption is big, very big. So you have to take them to the river or to the trough or some place where there's abundant water that they have themselves. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ مَرَأَتَيْنِ تَزُّنَانَ. Now look at the Nabi. And Nabi, how he looks at things. So he saw the two girls, تَزُّدَانَ, they're تَمْنَعَانَ, they're keeping, they're holding back their flocks. Now the Quran is making a point of saying this. Now, the Quran could have come straight to the point. Say, alright, he came here and he got a place, right? He got a refuge. Well, the Quran is saying something else here. It's showing something. It's showing what is the pulse of a nation. What is the pulse of Islam? What is the pulse of a Nabi? What is the thought? So he saw these two girls and they're keeping their flocks away from not mixing up with the rest of the flocks. Right? So he understood now these people are coming from a noble background. They're not mixing up. So that not mixing up is because of the nobility. Not mixing up is a point of the chastity. Not mixing up is a point that they are coming from a very, very respectable, honorable background. So they're not mixing up. Right? So he sees them on one side and they're coming to the water trough. So obviously they come to water the animals. So he asks them, what's your problem? In other words, I want to help you, so what's your problem? So then they like we'll say nowadays, in a little bit of a crude way, spill the beans. لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِيرَ الْرِيَاءَ. We only water our animals after the shepherds have finished with their animals and returned. And they, once they go on, we do this. You see, the Quran is making a point of talking about this, showing what is the role of a woman. She is not intermingling. She is not interacting. No interaction, no intermingling. But now this is a daughter of a Nabi. And how they act, how they would behave, right? And the Quran is talking about it. Why is he talking about it? Could have come straight that he found a refuge in Madian, so he stayed there, he lived there, right? But the Quran is talking about this whole story. It's impressing upon us the role of a woman. قَالَ مَا خَبُّكُمَا. Then they say, alright, you know, in Sharul Vika you get دَفْئَ دَخْلِ مُقَدَّرَ. You know, the man may be asking, alright, but if you are so noble and respectable, right, you're coming from a very noble background, respectable, honorable background, then why are you out of the house? You're supposed to be in the house. What are you doing here? So now they say, see, وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. Our problem is our father is advanced old man, lost his sight, Shaybal Islam, he's lost his sight, he's advanced in age, and we need to keep the home fires burning, otherwise we'll all die with starvation. So necessity and desperation forced us out of the house. We got an old father that we have to look after him. We got a family, we have to look after them. Now, we're not living to sustain a comfortable life, no luxury, basics, we've got no basics. What do we do? وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. See that? Now, the Quran is making a point of relating all this. That you may understand the nobility, the respect of this woman. Now, oh, Mulana, I have to go, man, to the shop, you know, to the mall. Why? Because the wife always says, you know, you don't know about toiletries and all that. I know about my toiletries. You don't know about it. You make a mess up. Now compare your wife and your daughters to the daughters of the Anbiya. They desperation forced them. And your life is, your comfort and your luxury is forcing out. And I say it with conviction. Because just look, 70 years ago, or 80 years ago, your dadi and your nani, you're holding hands, dadi and dada, they're holding hands and going to the shop. They're doing it. So that means it's not just desperation. It's some wrong inspiration, not a desperation. The wrong inspiration has influenced your mind and heart. Oh, the wife will make a noise. But wife will make a noise, I understand. But who puts on the pants? You put on the pants, everything else you can command, you can instruct, you can touch up also, you know how to say it with love also. But you could do everything else with love, can't you do this with love as well? The command of Allah Ta'ala, the respect of the Quran, what is it wanting from you? Now, because these readers, right? Now they have someone writing an Islamic book for beginners. But 7 out of 10, they'll have an interaction, boy and girl. How are you, Zaid? How are you, Zuleika? So from that small, tender age, you are teaching the child this type of an interaction. What the child feels? The child feels to talk to girls like openly. It's not a wrong. It's an impressionable, young, small mind. He's just getting exposed. So Zaid and Zuleika, they are talking like that. Now, have you stripped off that fabric of haya? Now, compare this against the life of the Nabi. Compare. That's why I say, what we're not doing today is we're not thinking. Really, I feel that's the collapse of the Ummah. I'm saying this, I'm looking for some evidence in my mind. Can I find some evidence? And just now, Allah put something in my mind. Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, he says the collapse of this Ummah is because unki zindagi se fikr nikal gayi. They don't think, they don't understand, they don't see things in perspective. That's the reason why they brought a collapse in their life. A failure came because they don't think. They don't think of consequence. This basically came into their lives, and this is the reason for their collapsing. Now look at this story carries on, right? So they're showing their nobility, they're showing the reason for being forced out, right? Right. Again, the same girls now. Right? I'll come in between this now, please. Again, because I'm talking of shame now, right? Jaat ihdahuma tamshi al istihya. One of the girls come very much bashfully. She comes. See, the Quran is in these three verses. The Quran is giving her an applaud. Right? To be read to the end of time in Jannah, we'll read and we'll listen, right? But these women are held in such esteem because of that pure, clean behavior. Very clean behavior, pure behavior. But now, how, in what applaud Allah is talking of them? They dead and gone, and so will we be dead and gone. But if Allah Ta'ala elevates us because of this, you know, this haya and shame, what a great respect, what a great honor. See that? So جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. So she comes walking very bashfully, like she will walk, but she won't look at the face, she's looking down. Now I ask you, is this in conformity with Western secular values or totally different? So we took all the rubbish from them, all the rubbish we took it and made it look like Islam. Are we right? You know, one American woman had come with that Colonel Amiruddin from Hyderabad, right? So she came out in Jamaat, convert Muslim, white, right? She came in. So she had to spend some time in India. So it's American, so they took her to a very professional, wealthy, elite class, Adigar somewhere. They asked her to give the bayan. Now, when you hear an American, then automatically you attack people. Like the honey and the bee, right? How they attract it. So we just hear, just have to listen to an American now, the twang. Yeah? The twang will say that, why is she talking with the twang? You can't talk with the twang, so you got no akal, you got. You got no brains. But you can talk with the twang, eh? So they know there's an American speaker, so I think it was crowded, 1,000 crowds they got. Now a speaker, when he speaks, then he comes, he's getting to the peak, you know. There's a punchline. He comes to the height of his talk, and then he gives it, right? So she's building up a speech. And then she says, at the end she says, yeah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak's order of Islam, right? But I can't see, I can't imagine how you people have dropped. They came to impress her with all their makeup, their beauty, their dress and all that. They did all these tight pants and all that, they did all these things here. They came to impress the American with their standards, right? So when she saw this, and her expression was, yes, the lifestyle that we spewed out, you are licking up. Others, we found it disgusting, sickening. That which we found sickening and disgusting, we spewed it out. And the same rubbish, that filth, you are licking it up. See, to do this comparison, then you understand, alright, what is a Muslim woman supposed to be like? Sometimes someone tells me, you know, Talimuddin is very, very strict. But there is a reason why I have to speak like this. Because amongst the people, there are those also that are looking for the right, undiluted Islam. There may be those that are looking for something else. We don't talk about them. We don't get into their lives and don't talk about them. But there are some people that are looking for the right. I ask you, for these people here, must these people suffer? They are looking for something superior, something better, something closest to the Quran Sharif. Now, because of these people here, must these people suffer? Is it fair to them? It's not fair to them. They want it. So we're giving them what they want. See, جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِيَ أَسْتِحَةً. Three times, there's three verses that Allah Ta'ala gives these girls an applaud. تَمْشِيَ أَسْتِحَةً. Bashfully, shamefully, her hair must be looking down. She must be wearing clothing also, flowing, loose, right? Flowing, loose and unattractive. So that's why the Quran Sharif gave her an applaud, right? But I say, your death must come, it's inevitable. But what a fortune this girl struck. That Allah Pak is repeating her three times in the Quran Sharif. So now look at girl, her role, right? A woman and her role. Now then you look at a Nabi and what is his role. So فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. He waters the animal, right? He understands that they can't do it, right? So what they were doing in the past is whatever was left over, you know, on the ground after the shepherds have finished, right? Whatever was left over, that muddy water, that's what they were taking. So he understood that was not the right thing, so he held them out and watered the animals. Our style is, you get nothing for nothing, what? You get nothing for nothing, right? If Talimi board gives you a nice breakfast, right, they also want you to buy some kitabs from them. Right, brother? You'll give them some kitabs for some nice breakfast. But then, hey, I got this kitab also, this thing is out. And Nabi looks at it differently. فَسَقَالَهُمَا. He voted them, right? Every man has got some needs attached to him. And nobody can say, I don't have needs. Right. Now look at it. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. Then he came to the shaded area. In other words, he's showing us, well, there isn't a need to go through some sacrifice and difficulty. Then don't go through it. There is a shaded area. You have been in the sun. You are helping and laboring for them. All right. Now that difficulty, that work is over, there is a shaded and a covered area. So why don't you go through it? You are going out in Jamaat, right? And there is nice hot water. Why must you force yourself to bath in cold water on a cold day? Any sorrow for that? See, Nabi, what he's teaching you? There is that ease, then make life easy for you. Don't go through difficulty unnecessarily. Yeah, there is a need for you to go through some difficulty, then go through it. But there is absolutely no need for you to go through difficulty. Why must you go through difficulty? فَسَقَالَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. He came to the shaded area. فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Then he raises his hands and says, O Allah Ta'ala, I am desperately in need. See, I am a foreigner here. I don't know the people here. So he helped them, he doesn't know them for a bath. So you tell me, you're going to a foreign land. Will your primary concern, what is your primary concern? Hey, what am I going to do for the night? What about food, right? Some accommodation, some safety, security. That's going to be the primary concern. I ask anybody, Will that be the concern or not? Even if you're in Makkah Mukarramah, what's your primary concern? I must get some nice place, keep my luggage there, everything is done, have a bath, all that. Then I start doing work. Now look at the Nabi now. First, he sorted everything out. Whatever was needed at the time, he sorted them out. فَسَقَالَهُمْ. But notwithstanding the fact that man also has his needs. So his needs, who does he refer to? He refers it to Allah Ta'ala. رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. So you, there's one way to accept, get your answers, you get your du'as answered. Right? It's one way to get your du'as answered. That you help the person out. Someone for the day or whichever, whatever, according to your means, according to your capacity. Let me help out someone. A poor person. A person that is in need, whoever. Sometimes it is the worker, but I have to repeat this thing here, but please don't make ikram to the maid yourself. The ikram, let the wife do it. You don't do the ikram. A lot of time I tell the students this thing also. Because I tell them, see, when you're hungry, you're not looking for white bread. Brown bread also does. Anything will work when you're hungry. So you don't take a chance. If the mama is alone in the house, then you don't be there. They all gone out, you don't be there. Go, even if it is 10 miles to the nearest masjid, go and park there. That's a park place. But now this will be a na-park place. Because Shaitan will put 101 thoughts in your mind. She's alone now, let me just talk to her, let me cheer up, let me talk to Kunjani, Rungile. But before you go, what will happen to the Lungi? Something else will happen. So don't take a chance. This thing, don't ever take a chance. Not for 1 second. You don't know how your mind will just change. Your mind will just change. Don't even look at them, don't allow them to look at you. And I see you, inshallah, definitely trusting in Allah Ta'ala, saying, you will definitely find a noor in your heart. Don't even listen to them on the phone. Don't listen to them, don't look at them. Unless now it's absolutely necessary now. You can't help it. Someone died or something, or someone is phoning. So there is, it's a case of desperation and you're going to help the person. But his need, he's referring it to Allah Ta'ala. That person's need, he's sorting it out. And his personal needs, he's referring it to Allah Ta'ala. An easy way to get your du'as answered. Right? Look at the people, look at their comfort, look at their ease. Right? And your needs, you refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Their needs, you will do as much as you can according to your capacity. How much you can do? I don't say go and suffer. No. Go build yourself up slowly, help them out. Physically, materially, financially, whichever you help the person. But your need, don't ever refer it to any person. Refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is my need. Now look at it. He is in a foreign land. He doesn't know the people. He doesn't have a home. Right? No food. Right? Nothing, absolutely. No security. And within moments, and he's got all three done. He's got a refuge, where a place to stay. He's got the food all arranged. Right? And number three, right? Also, you know, we just don't want to be ghar jamma, you know? Isn't it? Huh? What? Huh? Want to be? You don't want to be ghar jamma. Now you're staying in the house there, now you're part of the whole party now. Now what you want is, I must work. I must work. If I'm taking some benefit, I must do some work here, contribute. So they are desperately in need of him. And he happily deserved them. When they need him desperately, then can he deserve them? Is this the right thing? So more than he needs a place, they need someone to do the work. So he looks at the desperation. But then Shuaib al-Islam is saying, now to make everything convenient, just get them married. So there's no fitna, there's no trouble. He's here, he's doing all the chores, right? He's comfortable and we relax mentally, physically, emotionally, we all relaxed. See, an easy way how to get your works done. فَسَقَالَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الزِّلْ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. That's why the hadith says, اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ نَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. You be kind to people, and the ones of the heavens, the heaven will be kind to you. You be kind to people, and the heaven will be kind to you. And I say the kindness can be in different ways. You know, alright, this person doesn't know how to use wealth. But his wife, children are all suffering. They don't have winter warm clothing, alright, he bought them. Because you know, you're going to give him money, he doesn't know how to manage it. So he gave it to him, he's passing it on. Right? They don't have medication, or they don't have something to keep them going in the whole winter, right? So he bought something to make them feel comfortable and healthy throughout the winter, right? Have this 1 teaspoon of honey. Or when we were small, and I know it was a terrible memory at first, but you line up and you take cod liver oil. And you can't, the elder is there, he just had to open his eyes, it goes straight. You can't, and I know you take the cod liver oil, right? That time there's no flavor. The dakar starts coming right to the evening. You know, the burping comes right to the evening, but it keeps you well for the entire winter. So there's other things like malt extract, honey, something, but by some work of kindness. Keep the person warm, show him respect, show him some regards. By Fadia Rahmatullah Ali, there was an ijtima in Lodium somewhere, maybe perhaps 1970 somewhere. So Abdul Wahab Sahib was there, and they arranged a nice posh room, Lodium, you can imagine now, nice posh room for him for the night. So no, I'm going to stay with the Muazzin. But he was a daring person, a real, like a different type of a person, daring. So he said, I'll stay in the Muazzin zone. Muazzin got a small, crampy place, living there. So at about half past 12, he called for Baipadia, Ahmadullah Ali. So he says to him, what are you people doing for these blacks? What are you people doing? So Baipadia was a very calm person. He smiled. Second time, Bai, what are you doing? So Baipadia explained, see, in the 70s it was such that you couldn't go into their areas and they can't come into your areas. It was a crime to pay penalty for that. So he gave him a shot. That was his style. Like, he liked someone, give one shot. Like, you don't like, hey, why is he hitting me? That was his style. Like, so if you understand the person, you don't mind the shot. So he says, aap logo ke dilon mein inki mohabbat kyun nahi hai? Why don't you find some place in your hearts for them? Why don't you find some place in your hearts for them? Alright, the restrictions are there. You can't come into their areas. They can't come into your areas. That's in his place. But the least you could have done is find some muhabbat, find some place in your hearts for them. And I tell you, you know, if we think about it, we can do things. But now, I know, alright, Junaid is doing hampers, so 1,000 people give 1,000 hampers. Now, we're not thinking now, is there any duplication? He got so much of hampers now, he became zakatable. He has to give zakat himself because he got 50 hampers. But we think how to help them, understand, they don't know how to budget themselves, so we teach them how to do it. But what a great service.